you deal with it. Maybe you can encourage someone else in the better how to deal with it. And then after about 10 minutes, I'll ask you, appoint somebody in your group to explain to us what you came up with. So go. Go to work. Deal with number one. All right, let's just start one group at a time. Let's just start right over here. Share with us now what, assign somebody in your group. Be doing that over here, guys. Share with us what you've kind of come up with. How are we going to claim this grace to be what we are? Get rid of this insecurity. Who wants to talk over here? It's your turn, not mine.
I'm insecure.
Okay, hang on, guys.
We talked about insecurity being the fear of being yourself and people not liking yourself, because we also talked about that we know ourselves better than anybody else does, and we know the bad things about ourselves. And, you know, someone mentioned that if the people sitting beside us in church really knew us, they probably wouldn't sit beside us and might not want to. That's how we think, and that we're uncomfortable with our own shortcomings, so we know that we don't think people will like us. So that has to do with insecurity. And someone else had a great comment. It says, we can't do anything to make God love us more. We can't do anything to make God love us less. So it's there all the time. And also the fact that we need to remember we are loved by God, and God's grace is working through us to change us to be better people.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go this one. Who's volunteering to speak here? I think they're all pointing at you. No, nope, you. Okay. Go ahead.
We kind of went off on confidence with insecurity. And from what I listened and what we got from it, I think a lot of people were insecure and they didn't have the confidence to do anything. And I think that you should have confidence with everything, because no matter if you fail with spreading His word to somebody new you meet or anybody else, you're not going to lose because you still have God on your side. So you should always have confidence to overpower that insecurity. Because no matter what, it's not like you're going to lose God. He's always going to be there. He's always on your team. You're always going to have the championship, which is God. So you, okay, need, you have confidence.
Confidence to deal with insecurity. I like that. Okay, confidence overtaking. I like that. Let y'all's group, who's talking there?
We kind of talked about most of us aren't really necessarily insecure as most people see insecurity. So we just talked more of ways that we kind of got over it and dealt with it more, and how we maybe helped others. And some of the things we talked about was the main thing with insecurity is like getting it out, talking to people about it. And Clint mentioned that a lot of times, like with his, anything that he kind of felt insecure about, he just kind of puts down the opening, either makes a joke about it or like does something like that. So it's just kind of make things calm. And we talked about how who we are isn't something to hide. Like there's no reason to hide who we are. And that the men of God who didn't have a clue like with what they were doing, they're the ones who did the best things, the greatest things, compared to those who thought they did. That should be kind of
good point. I like that. Orlando?
Okay, we have a lot of what everyone else had. Relying on God was one of the first things. He finds ways to help you trust Him and rely on Him in that sense. So through that reliance on Him and gaining trust, we're able to confess, which we were talking about that, how our confessions of our own securities can help even people who aren't in Christ to see that they can have that same strength to go and confess those things to God, and in turn not have to deal with insecurities on their own, because they'll be relying on God to help them with it. And we also discussed about open book policy, basically. Becoming an open book, I think, is just very important with that whole step, because insecurities cause us to clam up. And when we're clammed up, we're not effective. But when we're able to put ourselves out there, kind of take a risk, then it really helps us with dealing with insecurities, because now we have to face it.
and you begin to realize everybody's doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Right here.
Well, we're talking about the insecurity, facing it everyday life, you hang out with a certain group of people and feel insecure. And I think we need to have more as a Christian. We should have the courage to stand up for what we believe in our faith. When people say something wrong, we should just, I guess, to me, sometimes I lack courage to do it, but I want to do it and I feel regret afterwards. And so, just what we're talking about, the courage to stand up and just say it's what I believe in. Not going to change that.
Okay. Anyone else in this group here have? Okay, let's move on to number two. We'll spend the next 10 minutes on claiming the grace to respond to what I encounter, the 10 of abrasiveness. How do we deal with that one? I want y'all to figure that one out for me so I can learn. Okay, guys, so we can get through the rest of them, let's stop here and share and then move to the next one. Let's start with the group right here. First, since you got to go last, let y'all go first. How'd you solve this one for me?
Pretty much keep or think before speaking. I know that's a good problem because we just want to tell them what are you doing or something like that, and actually speaking the truth and not caring about how they feel, and then afterwards have them like you or something like that, and then just
okay. Let me ask you guys as we go, speak up. Number one, we're recording, and number two, I want everybody to hear it. So y'all have good insights here. Just speaking over here in this group. Well, Lendo, again, you got to sign twice?
Well, there's four.
He's the least abrasive of the group.
He's the least abrasive.
Well, Claire gave us an epiphany of one. Abrasiveness might come from your personal secrets. That was my epiphany. I was like, that helps me understand maybe myself and others in the group why I might get certain kind of things. Then really understanding your audience of who you're talking to, rather than thinking about why we're so abrasive, but think about how it might be received. So that really puts it on that level of really thinking about it, thinking about the consequences that can come with it. And, praying about it. Praying about your response before you go and respond is another one. That really causes you to put a pause for the cause. And if the cause is good, God will show you the way. So.
I like that. Add prayer to it. There we go. We should always add prayer to it, I think. Who over there?
Oh, we talked about sarcasm. And a lot of... We're all in this group. We determine we're extremely sarcastic, but sometimes that doesn't go kosher with everybody. And thinking before you speak is a big thing. My wife is actually claiming that she's going to write a book about me called Constipation of the Mind, Diarrhea of the Mouth. Tales of a Dumb Husband. But if I can say it wrong, I'm going to. But we also talked about that sometimes we have a lack of abrasiveness because we don't want to confront certain issues, but then that causes us to be abrasive with the ones closest to us because we have to vent that somewhere. And it all comes back to kind of that insecurity. We just need to confront things. We confront it. Think before we talk. Pray about it. And make sure sarcasm is appreciated.
Before you use it.
Yeah.
And that was sarcasm. And this group right here. Christina, you were a volunteer?
Yeah. We talked about, in order to combat abrasiveness, try to sit in the other person's shoes. And kind of like Rolanda said, think about how it could be perceived. We talked about pride as being a root of abrasiveness.
And something that I need to share is that for me, abrasiveness comes more in the form of self-protection than it does something else.
Okay, good points, good points. Yes? They voluntold you, huh?
Alrighty, well, when we spoke about the abrasiveness, one of the first things that was brought up was the fact that it seemed that, you know, as we're near other Christians for a long amount of time, for the majority of the time, a lot of times, we tend to, you know, forget where we came from.
Uh-huh.
Forget who we were before we were Christians. And looking out there, a comment was made that I kind of really liked because it kind of reminded me of a previous CMU, and that we sometimes see non-Christians as enemies, but rather they are not enemies as much as they are prisoners of war. And I know that one thing is to, it kind of comes into the claiming the grace to be what I am. And that is the fact that we are, even though we are saved, we are sinners nonetheless. Just as much as they are sinners who are not saved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through gaining that insight that it helps out a lot with not being the abrasive one. And one thing that I know I wasn't able to share was I found that in being able to respond to the things you see, whether it may surprise you because you think to yourself, it's like, why are they making these choices? And the real base of it is love. I mean, we're told to love everyone. And to love, it's just, you know, you got to show these people that you care, even though they're not Christians, even though they don't believe everything you believe. I mean, if we can't learn to love those who may not love us back, how are they going to know what God's love is? Because mm-hmm. we're the earthly civilization of what God's love should be.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Thank you. Let's move to number 3, claiming the grace to stand for what I believe. 10 of compromise. All right, let's deal with that one. Let's deal with this one now. Let's start with Clint's group over there this time.
Oh, we're right in the middle of it.
Ah, good. We cut you right off. Tell us how to deal with this compromise, this 10 of compromise.
We talked about all sorts of different kinds of compromise, but how usually people usually, you know, this whole tolerance thing is because they don't really know who Jesus is. You know, they got a picture, they have a warped picture of who Christ is, and that's why they're tolerant of it. You know, and that's why they can sit and you know, I mean, but you know, sometimes we got to change our view of it so that we don't become tolerant of it. Because, standing up for what you believe in Christ is that's what Jesus did. He, you know, he wasn't afraid to say, "I'm the Son of God at all costs, or I have to give sin." You know, without fear of consequences. So,
we should be recording right now.
Okay. Donnie, y'all's group.
We need to be firm in our knowledge of God's word. Because I think sometimes we're often fearful because we don't know it, and we don't know it because we're not in it. So we need to be in it in order to win souls, and then also being firm in our one-on-one with God, so that it reflects. It's Carol said that Paul was compelled to share. He couldn't help but share. He'd get thrown in prison and get right back out and be like, "I want to go evangelize now," even after you told me not to. And you know, he never compromised, and we need to be compelled sincerely in our beliefs so we don't compromise. You know, we need to love others so much that we are sincerely, you know, sharing with them and going forward boldly with others and not compromising. sin.
Okay. How about right here? Who got voluntold this time? Bunny, is it you?
we kind of were going along kind of what Clint was saying too, being loving and yet being, like he said, in the Word and not compromise. You know, sometimes we kind of have to compromise in the effect of love, being kind and gentle, when we're sharing what we believe, because that's what Christ would do. But still stand up for the Bible and God's Word for Christ. Doing
it
in a loving, gentle way
that
others will understand that the love
of God.
Okay. Let's jump over here.
Okay. Well, we said that we must have some level of tolerance to not be abrasive, but to still make known where we stand. With that, we have to find the line between compassion and compromise. So that we won't be swayed in our judgment, but that we can still not be abrasive. We have to watch what we expose ourselves to so that we don't become desensitized by sin and by things that are happening around us. We have to remember Jesus is the standard. There's no lukewarm, and we can't compare ourselves to other people because the goal is Christ. And we said the more you study, the more you know, and the firmer you can.
Very good. I like that. The more you study, the more you know, and the firmer you can stand. I like that. I might coin that new. Here we go. Harvey's having fun with us here. Right over here.
Whenever we were talking about compromise, the first thing that came to my mind is whenever something takes place of your center, of focus, that's something else besides God. Basically, anything materialistic or worldly in any way that throws off your center, basically. Mm-hmm. And you need to make that change to be firm in your faith.
Okay. Very good.
I also wanted to add, pretty much you're striving to complete what you're focused on, which always would be to focus on our relationship with God. But things come along the way, and like worldly things, and you're like focused, and then it's like, ooh, like I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Up, but dog and like squirrel. But we have to keep our focus and not lose our focus with God.
Okay, so to keep from compromising, keep your focus. I like that. That's good. All right, guys, let's deal with the last one, the 10 of pride, claiming the grace to submit to what I need. Okay, guys, now it's time for you to share with me what you got on the last one. How can we claim the grace to submit to what we need? Get rid of pride. Let's start over here, Donna's group first.
All right. Admitting I'm not always right, and it's broader than just conceit. We actually spent a lot of time talking about wanting to be in control and attacking pride from the control standpoint and letting our faith in God give Him the control. You know, just knowing that's what we need. We trust who we love, and if we love God, we will give Him the control in our life. If we don't really love God, we'll give Him. And it's a growing process, obviously, because we still take part of the control rather than giving it all over to God.
Okay. Jump here next.
We define pride as putting yourself on the throne instead of God. One of the roots that we identified for unless you're giving thanks and you're acknowledging God. And something that she said was that, we're talking about like claiming the grace to submit to what I need. You cannot have much to give unless you allow yourself to receive first. And so if you're being prideful and not allowing yourself to receive, there's not much you can get.
Okay.
You want me to talk?
Yeah,
you can talk. The stuff that we talked about dealing with pride, some of it was first off just admitting it, you know, that you're a proud, first admitting that you're a proud person, you know, because you're not going to get past anything unless you, you know, openly admit that you're struggling with this. And then the great thing about pride is that there's always people around you willing to humble you. And that's something to respect and have, because when you're dealing with somebody choking the life out of you, humbling you, it'll bring you back down to square one, you know. And so it's just one of those things that, you know, we need to have people to check us. Because when we start to get too proud, we're just going to screw up, or it's going to be about you. Pride is about you.
Okay. Seems to be a common theme there.
Barbara talked about, basically submitting to being a servant and being real with yourself and also
We talked about how submitting helps everyone, like it helps other Christians. If you get rid of your pride and they see you for how you really are, then they'll be more likely to do that, and it helps non-Christians as well if you submit, because then they're going to feel more free to come and talk to you, where if they see that you're very prideful and they think you're a hypocrite, they don't want anything to do with what you're selling.
Okay. And right here.
Well, the thing about pride, sometimes it's like blindness. Yeah. Right? You have to keep up, like, so much pride is being told that you can submit. I think it's just like they said, like, submit myself to God and let him guide us. Just like what he wants. Like, give your life to him instead. You know, like me, sometimes I'm just like, I think I'm always right all the time. Even though I know it's wrong, you know, I would always try to find a way around it. Like, come back, like, yes, I'm right, but, you know, like, people prove me wrong. And I know I was wrong within my heart. I know it. And it just, like, it is something that's so wrong. And I know I have to, you know, just give in.
Okay. Did I have somebody raise their hand over there? Want to talk again?
I have someone. One of the things too that we all just talked about, it just came back to me, was remembering where you came from would be a good way to help you stop pride. Is remembering that you were a sinner, that you're a little off, you know, you're not normal. You know, so when you have people coming into your group that are struggling with sin, or they're you know, they might not be the coolest person ever, remember where you came from. Remember the grace and the love that's been shown to you. And so return that favor and do it for people around you.
Okay, guys, I hope you noticed. I ran across it in the development of this lesson myself. And I think I've heard it coming from each group as you were discussing. You probably noticed the same thing I did. These all tend to tie into each other. All four of these. I mean, if you're prideful, it's probably because you're insecure. If you're compromising a lot, it's probably because you're insecure. And these things all kind of play off of each other. I contend if we can deal with these four areas, I contend these four areas are areas that stop all of us from sharing our faith. And if we can deal with these four areas, we'll go a long ways in being able to share the grace that God's given us, remembering that none of us deserve the grace He's given us. They don't deserve it either, but let's share it with them anyway. Amen. Guys, thank you for listening to me. I hope we got something out of the lessons. We need to get back up there at some point. I don't catch the exact time, but
I think 8:35.
8:35. 20 minutes from now. So we got a 20-minute break. Thank you, guys.